like to introduce Dr. Lubchenco.
Thanks, Pat. And thanks, John. I appreciate the council allowing me to spend a little bit of time with you. I know you have a very busy agenda, and I'm grateful for your willingness to rearrange it slightly to accommodate my interest in meeting here with you today. I want to do three things. One is to tell you a little bit more about the decisions that went into the final interim rule that we released 2 days ago. Two, let you know what kind of financial assistance we are able to put on the table immediately with the hope of additional resources down the road. And three, focus our attention on the next steps in this process. I want to begin by saying that I think this week is focused squarely on the future of not just New England groundfish, but the future of New England fisheries in general. And in my view, that fishery could and should include a prosperous fishing industry as well as healthy oceans. And in my view, we cannot separate the two. Achieving that future depends on the actions of those of you in this room. On Monday, NOAA announced an interim rule that sets the stage for recovery, recovery of both the industry and the fish. The final interim rule responded to public input. It was grounded in science and economic analyses. The final interim rule balances conservation with economic needs. NOAA sees this rule as both appropriate to the coming season and, more importantly, a bridge to sector management. I want each of you to know that the decision about the interim rule was recommended and supported by NOAA's fishery leadership team. The changes made to the January proposal were in response to the public comment and additional analyses. The changes should not be seen as my overruling NOAA's regional leadership or efforts. Although we are striving to improve our communications everywhere, I will vigorously defend my team in the region. They are working on your behalf and under very tough circumstances. I value and support their efforts and their counsel. The two other reasons that I'm here today are, number one, to announce NOAA's intent to provide $16 million toward this new future, and two, to let the council know that the ball is now in your court and that we will be watching closely. Let me elaborate on both of these points. Recognizing that the economic impacts of this rule will indeed be significant for many fishermen, for their families, and for their communities, I directed my staff to analyze our budget to see what we could contribute to get to sector management and to mitigate some of the costs of this transition period. We worked hard to find ways to provide quick and meaningful help to the industry through increased cooperative research and by assisting the industry to set up the infrastructure for the new management system based on sectors and catch shares. Of the $16 million that we will provide, $6 million, will go toward cooperative research. The remainder will be used to develop a data reporting and fishery monitoring infrastructure for the new catch share management system for long-term sustainability and profitability. The $6 million that will go toward cooperative research will provide opportunities for fishermen to work with scientists to improve surveys of fish stocks and to develop and test fishing gear that targets healthy stocks. Other funds will be dedicated to developing new infrastructure, such as electronic data reporting, other immediate opportunities, including hiring observers, and to help us transition to a new catch share structure. In addition to these resources from NOAA, the Economic Development Administration, or EDA, another agency within the Commerce Department, administers other grant and assistance programs that are available to communities and workers impacted by the economic downturn. NOAA is pledging to work with EDA to disseminate information about these programs to the affected communities. EDA provides planning, technical assistance, and implementation grants to distressed communities. And so that is an additional opportunity that is not immediate, a little bit down the road, but it might be an important opportunity for some communities. Engagement by the industry and support from everyone involved in these activities, such as EDA, will be critical to achieving our goal of a sustainable fishery and profitable industry in the long term. We are committed to continued dialogue with Congress, with you, and with all of our constituents to lay an effective path forward. I view the interim rule and these immediate next steps as good faith, expressions of good faith, and of interest in working cooperatively to get to a better place than we are right now. Number two, NOAA's ultimate goal here is to protect and restore ocean ecosystems, to fully recover fish stocks, and to allow an economically prosperous industry and vibrant coastal communities. The first steps toward that end are to put this interim rule in place and to begin to implement, to begin to mitigate some of the financial consequences. The next step is to make a rapid transition to sectors and catch shares. Experience elsewhere in the country and around the world suggests that catch shares are powerful tools for restoring the health of the ecosystem and getting us on a path to sustainability and profitability. This next step is therefore in the Council's hands. It's your turn to take a strong leadership role and develop Amendment 16 in a way that ends overfishing. I'm here to challenge you to deliver on that. I hope you will approve Amendment 16 at your June meeting. I commit NOAA Fisheries to do its part to provide analyses, data, and expertise to meet this deadline. But you must take responsibility. Amendment 16 should contain effective measures that end overfishing and rebuild stocks. The law clearly states that fishery management plans must have accountability measures. Delayed payments, for example, balloon payments, are not what Congress intended when it implemented the act. As part of our ongoing commitment to the fishery, we will work to better assess problematic stocks, such as inshore flounders. These assessments will also include cooperative research projects. I envision this effort as a collaborative one, but I intend to hold you accountable in the public view. I'm shining a light on your efforts now, and we will be tracking your progress. There is too much at stake for us to allow delays or self-interest to impact our ability to reach sector management and eventually catch shares. The two sectors that are already in place in New England, I believe, serve as an example of what can be accomplished when we work together. The longer-term future, beyond Amendment 16, bears careful thought and planning. And we at NOAA look forward to working with you to chart a course, to envision the right future, and to chart the right path to get there. I appreciate very much the interactions that I've had with many of you over the last, it seems like, just last few days. And I, again, very much appreciate your willingness to let me join you here just briefly this morning. I want to signal to you that this is a dialogue, this is a cooperative exchange. Although we may not agree on everything, I think we all have the same long-term goals in mind. So I'm looking forward to the decisions that you make. I will deliver on the promises that we have made to you, and I look forward to making good progress on these efforts. I am joined here this morning by Pat Kirkle, whom you know well, and Steve Murawski. And for specific questions that you may have on some of the details for which they are more intimately familiar, I will take the liberty of inviting them to help provide responses. And with those comments, John, I'm happy to take some questions.
Okay. I'd like to say that I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here today and to deliver the message of an explanation of how we arrived at the final interim rule, and I think more importantly, the message that there's some resources available to help the council and the industry transition to sector-based management in Amendment 16, and I take to heart your message about next steps in the future, and we're going to work hard to make sure that we do what is expected of us, and specifically like the mention of the cooperative research and gear technology research, because I do think those are parts of the future that will help us make our decisions and help guide us to a more sustainable fishery. So I'd like to thank you.
Thank you, John.
Turn it over to the council at this point. Any questions? Any comments? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Lubchenco. Thank you for being here. Truly appreciate the time that you're spending on this issue. Obviously, you have to because it's so hot an issue. We certainly do have a very difficult situation with management of brownfish, the mixed stock fishery here in New England. We're not unique, I suppose. Most councils have similar sorts of problems, great difficulties to deal with. And I'm very pleased to hear what you had to say regarding the resources you're prepared to make available to assist us make significant progress and to, well, as best we can, ensure that we do have sustainable and well-managed fisheries in the future, and that means the very near future. Your emphasis on sector management and catch shares is a good emphasis. Representing the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I know full well the value of sectors and of catch shares, and we are working in that direction ourselves, even within our state. I am very encouraged to hear you say that significant amounts of money will be devoted to financial resources, devoted to monitoring, observers, because I'm confident from my knowledge of limited access fisheries elsewhere in this world, catch share systems, British Columbia, for example, that if we don't have a great deal of monitoring, effective monitoring of sectors or catch share systems, those strategies will have very significant problems that will be very difficult to solve. If we begin Amendment 16 with an understanding that we will have significant financial resources to devote towards monitoring of sector performance to make sure that they are adhering to the provisions that they're obliged to live with, that we know what they're catching and what they're discarding, what's happening within the sector, we'll be in a far better position to say with confidence to those who watch us very closely, and many do, that we have done the right thing for the benefit of the New England groundfish fishery and, of course, for the resources themselves. So thank you. Thank you for that. And my agency has done a lot of work with conservation engineering, with monitoring as well. And we, of course, pledge to work with the National Marine Fisheries Service, with NOAA Fisheries specifically, to reach those shared objectives. That's our commitment to you. And it's a commitment we must make because certainly in Massachusetts, where the winter flounder resource is sort of focused, we need to do something as well in state waters for winter flounder, and we're attempting to do that through the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and interstate management of winter flounder. We, of course, will take a close look at the interim rule. It just came out. I haven't had a chance to go through the EA, through all the analyses that were performed, justifying, for example, the complete prohibition on retention of winter flounder over a very, very extensive range, which potentially could create a tremendous amount of waste, and there are credibility issues here too. But I appreciate the difficulty of the service's decision about what to do with winter flounder in that area specifically. You backed away from the proposed closed area. Very glad you did. That was an unwise proposal, and after further reflection, You've concluded that indeed is the case. I have other things I could say about the interim rule, but I'm not going to. We'll offer up some comments for your consideration, just so you'll see in writing what some of our issues are. And again, we'll try to be constructive. But at the same time, we will make it very clear to you that we're moving in the same direction, I believe. And with our contributing resources from the state and with your doing the same thing, and I hope those resources can actually escalate, can increase in amount, because this is going to be a serious undertaking, sectors and catch shares. Mm-hmm. I think we can get there in a cooperative way, in a non-confrontational way. I'm sure you're aware of the lawsuit that the Commonwealth has against the Secretary of Commerce, and of course has created a great deal of headache for your agency and for my agency as well, and so we're still dealing with that. Our preference is to work with NOAA Fisheries and not to go into the courts. That, as you know, is a very unproductive way to move forward. It results in damaged relationships, and that's something I don't like. We have great respect for our partners, NOAA Fisheries, you know, for Pat, you know, for Steve. I've certainly worked with Steve for a long time. I think I knew him when he had hair, and I had hair, but anyways, so thank you very much for what you had to say, and I look forward to continued work with you and with the agencies that you oversee.
Thank you, Dr. Pierce. Let me just say that I appreciate all of your comments. It's my hope that we can find the right solutions without resorting to lawsuits. And I think that that is our goal. And that doesn't mean that we won't do what we think is right. But I don't think that's that should be the path of last resort, not just a routine tool.
Anyone else on the council? Sally.
Thank you, Dr. Lubchenco. I had a question about the your mention of assessment of inshore flounders. Mm-hmm. That's certainly something that we were discussing, not only in the context of the interim rule, Amendment 16, yesterday in the council's response to the Framework 42 litigation as well. That's a real sticking point. And I'm interested in hearing more about what the intention is to pay attention to those stocks that are so critical in forming what actions the council might take in Amendment 16, and how those might work or not work, especially in the context as we transition to ecosystem-based management.
Mm-hmm. Pat, Steve?
Thanks, Sally. Just a few words on the inshore flounder issues. Obviously, if we look at potential ACLs for things like Southern New England winter flounder, Gulf of Maine winter flounder, northern window pane, and other things, it's clear that those issues are going to be challenging in terms of, you know, trying to keep overfishing to eliminate overfishing and make sure that we don't roll over those low ACLs. So the question is, you know, how frequently are we assessing those stocks, and do we have up-to-date information? So I spent last Friday with Dr. Thompson in the center talking about methodologies to make sure that the council has as updated information as possible on those stocks that are likely to be problematic, both in terms of the status of stocks and, you know, are they improving, are they flat, and also recruitment trends, the use of survey data from the inshore surveys like NEMAP and the Gulf of Maine inshore survey so that there's up-to-date information. And then, of course, issues like discard survivability and other issues that are important. And clearly that's going to be an emphasis area for cooperative research.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Lubchenco, for coming today. I echo John's and David's comments wholeheartedly. Your willingness to come today, your commitment of resources, your challenge to the council and the industry, your incorporation of and your staff's incorporation of many of the public comments in modifying the interim rule, to me, are clear indicators of a new way of us doing business, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Frank Blount.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Lubchenco, also. Mine's a little bit different question. Mine has to deal with recreational opportunities. Right now, the service is going with better data collection through the angler registration. And you just mentioned there'll be $16 million devoted primarily to commercial cooperative research and monitoring. Once the sectors have their allocations, what assurances does the recreational public have that the new data being collected will enhance their fishing opportunities?
As you know, Frank, one of the major initiatives in the reauthorization of Magnuson was making sure that we had better data on recreational fisheries. And so the recreational registry was an attempt to move beyond the MRF system to a new system called MRIP. We're on schedule to basically, if the states have not gotten a waiver, to implement the registry on the 1st of January 2010. And we will be working with the states to those states, particularly in the Northeast, where there's been some indication that they want to move beyond where they are now. And obviously, the states that want to, you know, initiate their own registry, they'll do that, and we'll certify them as such. But right now, we're devoting resources to make sure that we are in line to meet the letter of the law, which is to implement that registration. That's just the first part. That gives us the universe of the names of people that are actually fishing. We've got to come back with the right surveys to, you know, tighten up the air bounds on the recreational participation levels and the catch rates so that they feed into this process in a more timely basis than they do now. So those resources are actually in the system as well.
I would also just like to introduce Dr. Nancy Thompson, whom many of you know, who is the director of our Northeast Fishery Science Center. And Nancy, when there are questions that you feel you can chime in on, please feel free to do so. Thank you.
Doug Rout.
Thank you, Dr. Luchenko. It is a pleasure to have you here. I want you to know that, at least from the state of New Hampshire standpoint, that we feel that lawsuits are a last resort, and I do hope that this is the only one we've ever been involved in, and I do hope that it will be the last one, because I firmly believe that we need to all be working together on this. I also want to thank you very much for your commitment to sustainable fishing fleets and fisheries, as well as the resource. We've in New Hampshire have lost roughly about half of our commercial fishing vessels over the past few years, and we've had our one of our fishermen's co-ops close because of the difficult times that we've been going through. And I've been supportive of sector management, but I've heard the concerns of our commercial fishermen about how they were going to pay for this, and so I'm very heartened to see that NOAA Fisheries is willing to help them get started with this, because I too believe this is the wave of the future. And again, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Dave Gaethel.
Yes, I echo everybody else's sentiments in thanking you to come. I am chairman of the council's research steering committee, so as such, I'll probably be dealing with steering the research you've just committed the agency to. I'd actually kind of prepared a request for more money, but since you just announced more money, that takes that issue off the table. I would like to request, though, that if possible, the funding for NEMAP and the Gulf of Maine Inshore Trawl Survey somehow be converted to a line item within the budget or something. Currently, they're coming out of the cooperative research funds, and they're actually taking most of the money we've had available for the last couple years. The other thing I'd kind of like to just let you know about is that because sectors are new, there will be a number of issues that will come up when we put sectors into place, and we will need the ability to move money quickly to study those issues. We still have the current means of funding things through grants and contracts is a pretty cumbersome process that can take almost a year to complete. So anything that could be done to somehow speed that up would would greatly be appreciated, because I think we're going to have to target this money on a very ad hoc basis. We're going to identify a problem, and we're going to want to study it immediately so we can get an answer so the council can deal with it. So that would be something I would hope maybe you could comment on. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we all appreciate the fact that it's not easy to move money. And one of the issues, of course, we have this year is that the budget is so late. So I've been actually talking with Steve and other folks up in our headquarters office about this issue, because we all appreciate that we have to get money out really quickly. So we're looking at a variety of options, and including agreements that we have, say, with existing fishing foundations. We do have some MOUs with some groups and some other organizations as well. We're looking at the possibility of increasing our work with or work through Sea Grant, for example, as well, because I know a lot of the fishing community is working through Sea Grant as well. So we're also looking at moving away from grants and moving towards more cooperative agreements, which allow us actually to move funding much faster and much easier. So we're looking at all the options. I've talked with Steve. I've talked with the other headquarter folks. And so we're preparing ourselves now, and we have been for about the last couple of months in anticipation of, I guess I would say, this problem, although it's a good problem, I think. And so we're at the point now where I think we're pretty well poised to work with the fishing industry, primarily through foundations, through these other groups, to move money quickly.
Jim Alden.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Lubchenco, for coming, and appreciate all the efforts you've done on the interim rule. And I have a couple of questions. One is, I hope that in the research money that you've just announced, that we could develop some kind of side-by-side survey with the Bigelow starting this fall, because I think it would be very important, especially where we're trying to do calibrations, to bring the industry, to bring more trust in the industry and the thing that's the numbers that come out of the survey. And with this kind of funding, I think you could probably get that started. And secondly, it's more of a technical question on the interim rule. And I realized you worked kind of from the council blueprint, but in particular, there's two stocks of fish that can use could take a substantial increase in effort. And I think the council may have made a mistake. And one is in Georges Bank winter flounder. We can take a 98% increase in the fish and mortality rate, and yet the trip limits that were come out in the final rule are still the same as they were last year at 5,000 pounds. So if you could look at that and or explain to me why it's still at 5,000 when we're going to have left days, and it could have gone up to almost unlimited. And the other stock that has the same issue of that can take increase in F is white hake. So, and I know that not the council recommended to stay with the same trip limits, but I do think we need to look at that because the industry could use more fish in on those two stocks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. And I note that you've mentioned the side-by-side surveys at our earlier meeting, so I just acknowledge that I'm cognizant of that. Pat, do you want to say something about the two stocks that he's mentioning?
Yes. You're right, Jim. It was based on the council's recommendation. And we are in another comment period on this, the endless rule. And so we'll take that as a comment and look at it. Thanks.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and again, welcome, Dr. Lubchenco, and particularly glad that you're here, and also particularly glad to hear that you are so committed to catch shares and sector management. The policy of the New England Council for quite a few months now has been to move in the direction of quota management, so this is a welcome message indeed. As we do that, one of the things that I think needs to be strengthened and improved is the coordination of data sharing with the states. As we set ACLs, we're going to need to account for state catches, and that kind of data sharing needs to be improved, not necessarily with every state, but certainly with most of them. Also, on the cooperative research, I am particularly interested in seeing some sort of fixed gear survey supplement the mobile gear survey that we have right now, and I'm hoping that we can move in that direction. Single species management was a topic yesterday that occupied some heat and some length in the council's deliberations, and there's no question but that single species management of a mixed stock has been pretty much a disaster. And moving away from that moves us directly into habitat or ecosystem management. And it's going to be the job of the Habitat Committee in the very near future, as soon as we finish the matrix we're working on right now, to develop an ecosystem management plan. And I'm hoping that we can have the support of NOAA in moving in that direction. That's going to be particularly important to us. And as part of last item, as part of the move toward quota management, you mentioned the long-term view. In the long term, most of us are looking at, we're not committed to it yet, but we're looking at some form of IFQ program. The reason we're not looking very carefully at it is because of the barrier that's unique to New England in initiating IFQ programs. I think that we need to address that barrier. It's something that's specific only to New England. And I know this isn't at the top of the list right now, but in looking at the long range, I think we need to be looking at how we're going to segue into IFQs given the barrier that we have and what we might be able to do to reduce that barrier. Thank you.
I was trying to understand what you meant by the barrier, and John just whispered an explanation, so thank you. The referendum is what you're referring to. I got it. Okay. Steve, do you want to respond?
Well, I would like to acknowledge that in the Northeast here, Nancy Thompson's program is probably one of the leading ecosystem-based programs we have. They've developed a lot of knowledge about how the ecosystem functions, and it's only been marginally brought into the fishery management process as we've concentrated on individual stocks, as you said. There's a wealth of knowledge here that needs to be incorporated in some sort of framework, and I do think, you know, the multiple issues of the effects of fishing, the impacts of climate variability and change, all those, and then, of course, mixed species management, predator-prey relationships. There's a tremendous amount of knowledge there that can be brought into under the umbrella of an ecosystem plan.
Pat?
And to your first point with respect to sharing the information, better data sharing, we did we sponsored a workshop 2 weeks ago now, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, that included both representatives from the regional office and the science center, the councils, the commission, and ACCSP, specifically to talk about how we move forward with revising all of our collective data systems to better accommodate catch share programs and limited access privilege programs in the future. And I think we made a lot of progress in those discussions, and we're gonna keep up on that.
Anyone else on the council? Okay, time for a few comments from the audience. Maggie Raymond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lubchenco, I'm Maggie Raymond. I'm the Executive Director of Associated Fisheries of Maine. I also am the owner of a groundfish boat in New England. I wanted to thank you for the significant changes that were made to the the proposed rule and ask you a couple of questions, if I could, about the comments that you've made today. And in terms of the money that you said that $6 million would go to cooperative research and $10 million to improve data reporting and monitoring, but you also mentioned something to mitigate the economic impacts of the interim rule. So I was curious what you meant by that
The $6 million will provide opportunities for jobs, and that is seen as helping to begin to mitigate. That's the context in which that is. I also had mentioned the possibility of additional assistance in mitigating the impact from the Economic Development Assistance Program. We don't have a dollar amount on that. It's not, the process for qualifying for that money is what we would like to be able to provide communities with, just more information about what that process is and how to go about it. So that is an opportunity as yet somewhat ill-defined.
Okay. When the discussion was, Dr. Thompson was talking about how you would try to move the funding in a quick way, you mentioned using some of the groups and foundations that you currently use, and I just wanted to caution you that some of those foundations have huge overhead, some as much as 45% or more, and so I would hope that you would have a critical eye towards how much money goes to overhead, because $16 million is certainly a lot of money, but we have a lot to accomplish with that. Mm-hmm. So if the money could go, for example, to the states instead to and have a lower overhead, that would probably be a better way to move that money around more quickly. Also, you, Dr. Luchemko, you've mentioned today and several times over the past week or so that you believe that we need to have a rapid transition to sectors and catch shares, and that these are powerful tools. And we understand that that's the direction that we're moving in, and the council is moving in that direction, but they're really, from our perspective, there is not a lot of evidence that these tools will actually be the answer to the problems that we've had with management of groundfish in New England. The existing select sectors you specifically said served as examples, but what is being proposed in Amendment 16 is vastly different than those examples, and those examples, those existing sectors, for example, do not catch all the fish that they're allocated. And from our perspective, that would be successful if we are able to catch all the fish that scientifically we are able to catch, which under the current system we are not able to do because the restrictions are so tight on, and we're not able to capture all the healthy stock. So I hope you're right. I hope that they will be the answer to achieving sustainable fisheries and fishing communities in New England, but we just don't see that the evidence exists right now that they will be. And in particular, if there isn't more money provided for monitoring, and if that does have to come out of the industry, they will not be successful because the money simply won't be there, at least in the first few years of transitioning to that kind of system.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for those comments. I appreciate hearing them very much. I think, let me just say some general things about catch shares and then invite anyone else who wants to comment to do so. I don't see catch shares as a panacea. It's not a one-size-fits-all. I think the challenge is to design them in ways that are appropriate to the specifics of the place. That said, if you look at the global information that is available on catch share programs around the world, the evidence is very compelling that they are vastly superior in terms of achieving sustainable harvests and sustainable fisheries over the long haul compared to traditional types of management. That doesn't mean that they are the perfect solution, but I think that the global evidence is quite compelling. For New England, there are some similarities and some differences with other places in the world, and I think the challenge is to work this body working with NOAA Fisheries, with others, to help design what is appropriate. And I understand that moving in new directions is always fraught with challenges, but I think the current situation isn't working, and exploring, being open to new possibilities is very much warranted. And looking to other places for lessons learned is an appropriate thing to do. And I think in this case, the messages are, these are good tools. Let's examine them. Let's figure out what's going to work for us. And let's design something that we think is as good as possible, but let's be open to the need to modify it as we gain more experience and see what works and what doesn't work. Steve?
Thanks, Maggie. I think your comments about monitoring and information sharing are right on. Since I left New England 5 years ago, I've learned a lot about the way fisheries work elsewhere in the country and a few other places. And you're right, the trawl fisheries are much more complex than some of the other sectors, the hook sector and other things. But what we want to encourage is, I think, a little like the Alaska groundfish situation, where there's a real premium on the information sharing among the participants in a group of a sector, so that they do things like minimizing bycatch where they are under a bycatch cap. The North Pacific Council voted this week to manage a million metric ton fishery, which is 20 times the size of the current fishery here in New England for groundfish, based on a bycatch limit of 60,000 pieces of Chinook salmon. So they have an information sharing system in place where bycatch rates are almost instantaneously known. The data are shared across the fleet, and they move around in time and space to try to maximize their opportunity, knowing that there's accountability, you know, for the group behavior. And I think that's really what is being tried to emphasize here, rather than everybody in competition with each other, that there's some fundamental difference in information sharing. And it does work in other places. I mean, obviously, New England is very complex because of the small ACLs and the complexity of the fishery, but it's not unprecedented in terms of the way fisheries are managed in the United States.
Could I say one more thing? And that is that I think one of the challenges here is to figure out the right incentives to join sectors. And I think that that's very much an issue that the Council needs to be considering. I think it would be an appropriate challenge to you to think about what would it take to have 50% of the fleet in sectors. So I set that as a target and invite you to think about if that's the right target. Is it possible? How do we get there? What are the right incentives? How can we make it happen?
We have time for one more question. John Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Madam Undersecretary, for the attention that you are paying to this, to our situation here in the region, considering all the things that you have on your plate with all the programs in NOAA. In your remarks, you called attention to the importance of accountability measures and in Amendment 16, and there's already been quite a bit of discussion in the last few minutes around monitoring and other aspects of that accountability. And we certainly recognize that accountability is central to the mandate in the reauthorized Magnuson Act to end overfishing immediately. And so that's what we're expecting, that we're moving into a new era. And you've stated in your remarks that delayed accountability, balloon payments, are not consistent with this mandate. This has been a matter of some debate at this body, and some interpretation of the recently developed National Standard 1 guidelines. Can you elaborate a bit?
So the issue there, of course, is what was Congress's intent when they said they wanted accountability measures? Does that mean hard tax all the time? It doesn't necessarily mean it, but if the intent here is, well, we're going to ease into this situation and we're not going to be accountable on, say, the flounder tack for 2 or 3 years, you're potentially looking at a situation where you would start a fishing year with nothing left because you rolled that quota forward. And that's clearly not the intent of Congress, you know, to have those accountability measures not actually have accountability in them. So the point is the Council needs to think hard about making sure that at the beginning of this system, that once a TAC is close to being met or exceeded, that there's some hard bite to it so that we don't get into this situation where we're constantly rolling quota forward and overfishing the stocks.
Meaning to say that the expectation is that reaction to an overfished condition is immediate rather than in the future. Thank you.
Okay, well, I understand that Dr. Lubchenco needs to move on, but I'd like to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here and to press the flesh, if you will. And we invite you back at any time and look forward to working with you and your team as we move forward in Amendment 16.
Thank you, John, and thank you to all the council members and everyone here. I, too, look forward to the future. We'll be anxiously awaiting your decisions, your deliberations. We are here to be helpful, but also to uphold the rule of law. We want to do so in a way that is cooperative and focused on the future, and I look forward to doing that. Thank you.
We'll take a 10-minute break, and when we come back, we'll go into